116.
The Life of Mary Southern, the human story of one woman's love, how it affected her life and the lives of those she loved. Mary Southern is brought to you each weekday by the makers of Itana toothpaste. So that young son of yours has his second teeth, has he? Grant. I'll bet you're proud of those strong, attractive, bright teeth of your young son. Well, Mother, how long will he have all those handsome teeth? Let me tell you something to do to help him keep his teeth. Keep them strong, keep them handsome. Start him tonight on the famous Itana way in the home care of the teeth and gums. Start him using Itana toothpaste with gum massage tonight. For you see, Mother, the soft foods we all eat fail to give our gums needed exercise. Unless we give them extra exercise with massage, they tend to grow flabby and actually unhealthy. And that's when tooth dinginess and tooth troubles may start. For listen to the words of a distinguished dental authority who says, quote, "It is absolutely imperative that the patient acquire the habit of proper daily brushing of the teeth and the practice of massaging the gums," end quote. So by all means, follow this advice. After you brush your teeth with Itana, put a little extra Itana on brush your fingertip and gently massage your gums all over. You'll like it. You'll feel the distinctive tang, as stimulating as a cool shower bath. And this tang indicates that the famous Itana technique is helping to stimulate your gums. It's a tang that indicates that Itana is made not merely to clean the teeth thoroughly, but also to massage the gums, and so help make them firmer, your teeth sturdier and brighter, your smile more alluring. So for the sake of the health and firmness of the gums of your whole family, for the soundness of new teeth, for the sake of the attractiveness of their smiles, get an economical tube of Itana toothpaste from your druggist today. And now to resume the life of Mary Southern. Yesterday, Mary was very happy, for she saw one of her dearest friends, young Dr. John Benson, completely reverse his attitude toward her husband, Max, and instead of denouncing him as he has done for the past few weeks, instigate a meeting with Daddy Stratford, his son Danny, the Reverend Blaine, Mary and Max, for the purpose of planning a way to clear Max of the trouble he's in, resulting from his recent gambling activity. John's theory was excellent, for he brought up one important point, that their little group of friends were the only ones who could truthfully testify that Max Sanders was a member of the Cheney gang, and that if they told the real truth why Max became involved with Cheney, the district attorney would certainly postpone the trial and give Mary and Max time to plan a better defense. Dr. John concluded that the only man who might testify against Max would be Cheney, and he is still at large. Now, a short while later, Daddy Stratford and Mary are at the clinic, not only to visit Danny's wife, Phyllis, but hoping also to find Danny, who is still very bitter toward Max, believing his actions unpardonable and definitely responsible for his wife's condition. The two walk down the corridor toward Phyllis's room.
Well, here's your room. I suppose we can walk right in. John said it'd be all right.
You go first, Mary.
Okay. Wake, Phyllis? Oh, Danny, we thought we'd find you here. Danny's here, Daddy.
Well, good. How's the old hunchwurst?
Hello, Mary. How are you, Daddy?
Hiya, Phyllis. How's my little, what the devil do you call her, Danny?
Oh, he doesn't call me funny names anymore.
Schnuggerpugger, wasn't that one of them, Danny?
Oh, I guess so. Well, Philly, I guess I'll be going.
Well, don't go, Danny. Wait a little while. It gets awfully lonesome here, and I like company. Especially my Danny.
Dan, if I was you, I'd put a smile on my face. It's good sick room manners, you know.
I don't feel like smiling.
Say, what'd you do to Danny tonight? He came in here moping like a dying cat.
Well, Phyllis, Danny's just homesick to get you home. That's what's wrong with him.
Why don't you tell her what's wrong with me, Mary? You can't hurt her any more than Max has done already. Go ahead and tell her while I'm moping.
Danny, I don't care if you're married and got two kids. I'll give you a walloping if you don't hold your tongue.
What's wrong, Mary? What's happened? What did Danny mean?
Oh, nothing, Phyllis. Danny's just, well, a little upset about everything. After all, he's been through a lot lately. We all have. What with the trouble at the hotel and you suddenly popping up with a brand new little baby boy. It's been a little hectic.
Oh, I see. Max. Larry, is that brother of mine still in jail?
Yep, but Doc Benson's got a swell idea to spring him, Mary.
That's what we had the little meeting for tonight, to work out a plan.
And don't you like it, Danny?
I won't say any more.
Danny.
Huh?
Don't forget, Max is my brother, and he's Mary's husband. We love Max, Danny. No matter what he's done, we love him.
Well, I don't love him. Phyllis, I don't care if he's your brother or not. He got into this gambling racket and worried you just when you were going to have a baby, and now...
Danny, I'll take you by the nape of the neck and throw you out of here if you don't shut up.
Oh, but, Danny, everything's all right. Yeah. Everything's wonderful. John said it was. Oh, I'm a little weak. That's to be expected. But I didn't worry about Max and his gambling stuff. I didn't have time to. All I was thinking about was, well, our little boy. We wanted a boy so badly. All I did was concentrate on that. I came through for him. Didn't I, honey?
You see, Danny,
everything's going to be fine. John told me that. Well, for a few weeks I'll have to use a wheelchair, but he said it's just one of those things. Why, in 3 or 4 weeks, I'll be like new again. I know I will. So don't be bitter about Max. He wasn't to blame. I just worked too hard on getting you a son, my friend.
I'm going. Good night, Phyllis.
I don't go.
I think you should go, Phyllis. Daddy, you stay with Phyllis for a while. I'll go with Danny. Phyllis, Danny's just tired and upset.
All right. Mary, will you visit me tomorrow and tell me all about how Max is getting along?
I'll be in early in the morning. Okay?
Fine. Bring the baby, will you?
Well, I'll ask John if I may. If he says it's all right, I'll bring them along. Daddy, tell Phyllis a few nice jokes. She needs a laugh. Come on, Danny, let's go.
Aren't you going to kiss me, Danny?
Huh? Oh, you sure?
He's broken up, Danny.
Yeah. Never seen a Danny boy like this before.
I'll try to talk to him for a while.
Wish you would.
Well, come on, Mary, if you're coming.
All right, Danny. Good night, Phyllis. See you in the morning.
All right, Mary.
Good night, Mary, darling. See you at home, Danny.
Okay, Daddy. Where are we going?
Come on down here. I want to show you something, Danny.
Okay.
Here we are.
But you can't go into the nursery tonight, Mary.
Oh, I didn't want to go in. I just want to look through the window at the little baby. Let me see. No. No. Well, there he is. See him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't you know your own son?
Well, it's hard to tell him apart.
Oh, I don't think so. Well, he's the image of you, Danny. He's got that funny little turned-up nose. See?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, he has, sort of.
And look at the way he frowns. Just like you.
Do I frown?
Well, you have been for the past week.
Oh.
Danny, that little son of yours sleeping there in his crib, he's the one you have to blame for all this.
Who, him? Why, well, you're crazy. He couldn't help being born.
But he's the one who caused Phyllis to have her trouble.
No. Wasn't his fault. Even if it was, I wouldn't blame him.
Of course you wouldn't. But whether you like it or not, that little fellow's the cause of it all. It's little Danny Jr. in there. Your image. A little bundle that'll grow up and think and dream and love just like you and Phyllis have done.
Mary, if you're telling me all this to try and take the blame away from Maxwell, don't do it. And I don't think it's very nice of you to come out here and try to pin it on that little baby. Next thing you know, you'll blame me. I suppose I'm to blame for Phyllis being like she is because it's my child.
You couldn't take the blame if you wanted to. Danny, what I'm trying to show you is that in something like this, you can't blame anyone. I know how you feel about Phyllis. I know why you started to cry in her room. She thinks she's going to get well, and you know she isn't. At least you think she isn't. But, Danny, there's always hope. And if your heart's so full of bitterness for Max, well, you won't have any room for hope for Phyllis.
What kind of hope have I got? 21 years old, 2 babies, and a wife that's going to be an invalid for life.
Danny, there's one doctor who can cure Phyllis right now if he wants to.
Yeah? But I'd have a fat chance affording a doctor like that.
Yes, right now you can't afford him, Danny, because you're spending too much of your heart in bitterness for Max. But I think if you throw out that bitterness and start saving up hope and kindness, tolerance and love, you will soon have plenty to pay this doctor.
But you're talking in circles, Mary. I don't get you. Oh. Oh, I get it. You mean God?
Let's call him doctor for a while, shall we? And you'll find his fees aren't nearly as high as they seem right now. Danny, want to see something cute?
Huh?
Look at your son. You just waked up. Look at him.
Oh, he's smiling, Mary. Never did see him smile before.
Gosh,
he's laughing. Gee, he's a cute little fella, ain't he? Look at him. Wait, you think he knew what he was laughing about?
Well, he does. He's just happy. You see, Danny, your little son hasn't had time to learn what it means to be bitter.
No. But give him time, Mary. He will.
Has Mary convinced Danny to forget his bitterness toward Max? And to begin hoping and praying that his wife Phyllis does get well? And if she hasn't, can Mary, without Danny's testimony, convince the district attorney to postpone Max's trial? We hardly think so, for Danny's story would move any jury. You want healthier gums and a brighter, lovelier smile, don't you? But look at your toothbrush tonight when you brush your teeth. Does it show a faint tinge of pink? That's pink toothbrush, a sign that your gums may be flabby and unhealthy, and that you may be in for more serious mouth disorders. You'd better see your dentist and follow his advice. But the chances are your dentist will say your trouble isn't serious yet. He'll frequently tell you that because the foods we eat these days are mostly soft foods, your gums tend to become soft and unhealthy from lack of exercise, and so your teeth tend to get dull and dingy. And so he may add, use Itana toothpaste with massage twice a day. After you brush your teeth with Itana, put a little extra Itana on brush your fingertips and massage your gums. When you massage them with Itana, you give them more exercise with the toothpaste specially designed for massage. And so you help make them firmer and healthier, help make your teeth sounder and brighter, help make your smile more attractive to those you meet. Don't take chances with pink toothbrush. Start using Itana with massage tonight. Get an economical tube of Itana toothpaste from your druggist today. Tomorrow we may learn if Mary's words to Danny had any effect on the young husband. And we'll also learn how Dr. John is coming along with his plan to have Max's trial postponed. Listen in again tomorrow to radio's most fascinating serial story, The Life of Mary Summers.